If many of you don't know, Brian is a fight choreographer and actor. You were on Shang-Chi, and you were on Everything Everywhere All at Once. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Can you tell us a little bit about your involvement in this film?
Yes. So this film, honestly, is a dream come true. Wait, where's the camera? Just so I know where.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere? Okay, it doesn't matter where I look.
That's a real actor right there.
Should I look at you? Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay. Anyway.
Just straight back there. There are cameras all around.
Okay, right here. Perfect. Gotcha. What was your question again? Sorry.
What was your involvement in the film?
Okay. So this film for me is it's honestly a huge dream come true. I've been a huge fan of Kenji, our director, for as long as I can remember. And I actually sent him a message in 2013. Is it off or? Mic check. Oh, there you go. Anyways, I sent Kenji a message either on email or on Facebook message or something in 2013. He left me on red or something. I don't know. But anyways, and I'm a huge fan of Kenji. When I say huge fan, down to like, the style of his action, the rhythm, and even the cut points and the editing, just how he composes his fights, I'm a huge fan. So to work on this film, I'm just grateful to be here, honestly.
Yeah. But what did you do in the film?
Okay. Yeah. In this film, I play this role. I don't know if he's here somewhere, but I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to spoil or speak on it, but you guys will see very soon.
You know, when you are doing fight choreography and you're working with the director, the DP, how much of your vision for the actors happen? Do you struggle with the director? Like, how do you work that out?
Yeah, so I believe that it's a huge collaboration, you know? It's a synergy between a lot of energies. And I would say between the director, the two people fighting, and the camera operator, I would say everything has to be in tune, you know? So for example, if I'm working with the director, like my friend Joseph, real Slim Shady, where you please stand up.
Yeah.
That's my homie right there, Joseph. I work with Joseph a lot and when he directs us. What helps is that he's also a performer himself. So he understands action. He understands where the cut points are, where to shoot. Like if I'm punching this way, you know, if the camera's where you guys are, I wouldn't be punching this way. You know, Joseph would know for me to punch up here, you know? So it's a synergy between the cameraman and the director and the two performers. Everything just has to be in sync, you know?
Yeah. You've come a long way since the Martial Arts Club on YouTube.
I appreciate that. Martial Club.
Martial Club.
Yes.
And I see a lot of martial artists in the audience. And when we think about your success and Andy's success, your brother, how do you think that you could inspire? Like, what words would you have for the audience that come, filmmakers, martial artists alike?
I really appreciate that. Thank you. I would say definitely follow the fun. And the reason I say that is because as cliche as it sounds, it's the journey that counts, you know? Everyone always thinks, if I make it at the end, I'll be happy. If I have a lot of money at the end, I'll be happy. If I have a big house, I'll be happy. But if you can't learn to have gratitude within the moment, you're still not going to be happy when you get there. And when they say it's the journey that counts, if you can live as your highest self and be at your highest frequency and take every step with gratitude, that journey will manifest itself to something great itself. So definitely follow the fun, everyone.
When we watch fight scenes, I just opened
the video. Appreciate that. Thank you.
I just want you to know that I didn't drink it. I just opened it for you.
Thank you for letting me know.
When we are watching fight scenes, we know what's special and what's not, right? We know when we're looking at something that's really cool. How do you get it to that? How do you get these choreography, these sequences to get to this the level that when we're watching it, it feels special?
Okay. I believe every performer needs to bring their truth onto the screen. So I'll give this film as an example. Kenji's method is very much having the structure, having the confines and the guidelines. And as long as everyone has the same intention, every performer is free to play. So for example, if there's choreography laid out, right? It's like 70% laid out and the 30% it's up to the actor to bring their truth, you know? And when the energy of that actor and one other actor, when they collide, then there's magic, you know? And I believe those moments can only be captured once when there's true synergy. So I believe it's always up to the performer to bring their own truth into the movie, yeah.
Now, with the advent of AI, are you worried about what you do? How would you differentiate what you do versus what AI can do? How do you make that signature you do feel?
Very good question, yes. I believe, you know, the world's changing every day, and the most that we can do is adapt, honestly, whether we use it as a tool or not. But honestly, I feel as technology grows, as AI grows, you know, when the pendulum swings so far one way, I believe humans have this ability to sense sincerity, you know, and they're gonna always need to find a sense of grounding. So I believe when the pendulum swings so far one way, they're gonna be tired of seeing something that's always so artificial, that doesn't have soul. Because I believe the beauty of human consciousness is that we can tap into source, and that's where I believe true creativity comes from. So they're gonna be needing something that has more of a sense of grounding. And that's what I believe the Furious is doing, something that's grounded and, you know?
Yeah,
raw, yeah.
Before I ask you the last question, I want to thank the LA Asian Pacific Film Festival for bringing
you guys
together here. Thank you. Lionsgate for having this, pick up this event. And Brian, thank you. I want to ask you about your next project, or do you have anything in the works?
Yes. I'm honestly not sure how much I'm allowed to say, but definitely this next project is it's a personal project that I'm collaborating with a lot of my brothers, a lot of my teammates, something I've dreamed of doing since I was a kid. And all I can say is that it'll be very close to home, and it'll be like an own personal love letter to the genre of Hong Kong filmmaking action cinema. That's all I can say. Yeah.
So the movie opens up in theaters June 12th. Everybody, please help promote the film. The longevity of films and the Asian American populations that make movies here in LA depend on this word of mouth. So whatever you can to get on social media, June 12th. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the film.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy the film.
I want to, you know, congratulate you with this new movie, The Furious. It is absolutely mind-blowing to see the film, you know, after we had that discussion live at the theater, you know, watching it now, we can talk about so much more in the film.
Totally, totally. I'm excited. Thank you.
Your fight scenes, and all of the fight scenes, are so intense, and they feel like a big departure from what we traditionally see in fight movies. How do you make that distinction, that jump to go from, you know, what we used to see, you know, the normal fighting, and now we see this sort of like new brand of technical fluidity?
No, I really appreciate that. Thank you. No, I would say definitely within the last 10, 15 years, I would say action is taking a route of using a little more CG, a little more wire work, you know? And I think the same as anything, when the pendulum swings so far one way in something that's a little more, I would say, artificial, for a lack of better words, you know? People will want something that's a little more grounded, you know? So the energy always balances itself out. So then I believe The Furious was a project where the action was relied more on a lot of grounded action, using the actors themselves to do the action. Whereas a lot of films now, they would have an actor come on, right? And then they would have a stunt double come on back over the shoulder. You know, and I believe humans can sense sincerity, you know? So even visually, when we see that in the edit, it works, like the stunt double is there. I think subconsciously we can feel that we're being lied to, you know?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
When we have a film like The Furious where the actors themselves are doing the action, you can see the struggles on their faces. You can feel their frequency, that they're putting their life on the line. And along with the beautiful action of Sonomura-san and Kenji-san, and the team where the action is so grounded and hard hitting, it definitely made a difference. And I would say that's what separated the film most from a lot of recent action films that has been coming out.
This idea of energy and understanding where it comes from and while we're watching it through the screen, is that something that's new or has that always been talked about in the making of these types of films? Because what I'm seeing is a completely different type of energy when I'm watching The Furious. If it was modern, but yet rooted in this idea that the people who are making this movie understand what this energy transfer is to my brain.
Yeah, it definitely. You know, I believe at the root of existence, you know, I believe all humans are meant to create. So I believe every human is an artist. So whether it's something that we know consciously or subconsciously, I believe the idea of energy is always there. You know, so I believe anyone who's creating something to a very deep level, they'll always find a way to tap in. And once they tap in, they're in their deepest subconscious. And then from there, they can feel what is real and what isn't, you know. So I believe everyone has this ability, you know, and it comes down to how tuned in you get when creating.
When I look at these sequences, I think about how long it might take to record because they go by so quickly, but I'm like, no, this is probably this little like 1 minute here might've taken a day or two. Right. But I wanted to ask you, like, how does that work?
No, totally. Yeah. So, I would say for a lot of, American films, with a director who isn't as experienced in action, they would come in with an approach as if they're shooting narrative, you know? So usually in a narrative scene where there's two actors having dialogue in like a dialogue scene, they would have a master shot and they would just have a coverage shot like 45 on the other actor. And they'll just kind of stitch it together and post on whatever feels right. But I think what's beautiful about this film is that we have Kenji-san as a director, and he comes from a world of martial arts action filmmaking experience. So It wasn't the typical case of just shooting it wide, getting coverage. It was, okay, the choreography looks good from this shot up to this point, and then we'll set up for this big kick. But right before that, we'll have the coverage of the actor to feel their intensity. So everything is very thought out. Everything is very methodical down to not only the cut points, but the feeling of the fight. You know, I believe every fight scene has a rhythm to it. So it's like build up, tension and release, you know? And I think what's beautiful is that because Kenji-san and Sonomura-san are so experienced in this, it made the process one a lot easier. And I have to give credit to the stunt team and the amazing cast as well. I learned so much from them. I consider them as, you know, they are all my teachers, you know? So in terms of action, I learned so much from them as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. When you think about projects that you did years ago, like Everything Everywhere All at Once and Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, how far have you grown in terms of being a martial arts person, a coordinator, all of that? And how has it changed?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for that. That's a very good question. I would say, within the time span of those years is when I actually had my most growth from that time. I believe we shot Everything Everywhere, maybe around 2020, I believe. And it's 2026 now. I believe within those years were the very prominent years where I felt I took a lot of time to retreat from filmmaking actually, and to understand what martial arts and action filmmaking meant for me. So I would say before I wasn't too aware of the energy that was being put out into the choreography. I believe it subconsciously, I just knew what, like subconsciously to myself, I know what I like, I know what looked cool, and I just did what I wanted, and which is fair. Every artist just wants to express themselves, right? But I would say within the last couple of years was when I really learned how to see it from a third person perspective, and mm-hmm. to see, okay, What does the audience feel, and what am I feeling, and how do I portray this vibration that I have out to the audience as well, you know? And I believe that is an art form within itself. And then, yeah, I would say those were my biggest changes from within that time span and now. And I'm, and I'm just, I'm grateful for the journey and I'm grateful for the process, man, honestly.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine. There's a paradox in martial artists. The older you get, the more knowledge you are accumulating. You're learning more. You see things better, but your body's breaking down.
Right? Yes.
There's this inverse ratio, right? How do you mitigate aging? How do you figure that out? Because if I was to say to you, oh my God, you did amazing work, you know, back in 2020 or, you know, the films that you did before. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're doing better work now, but you're aging. How is that possible? You know, that was going on in my mind when I was watching this latest movie, The Furious. I was like, wow, this is crazy. It's getting, you're getting better, but you're older. You can't be that much, you know, far in my age. Right. And I'm like, how is this possible?
Oh, I really appreciate that. No, thank you. No, I believe as we grow as our, we grow as humans as along with our art, you know? So even though like, let's say, I'll give Jackie Chan as an example, right?
Yeah.
I'd say Jackie Chan has a Jackie Chan 1.5, a Jackie Chan 2.0, 2.5, and a 3.0. And I'll give my thoughts on that. Let's say in the past he did like a police story, right?
You know,
groundbreaking stuff. He would jump off the mall thing, the pole. You know, like he's in his 20s. He doesn't care. He don't care about anything. You know, he's just wanting to get that, you know?
Yeah.
So of course I would say that the physicality is there, but I believe Jackie is someone who adapted well to his age in terms of action. As he got older, you know, during the time era of Rush Hour, Shanghai Noon, Shanghai Nights, you know, he started to break into Hollywood more, and then he had to work with an American team where he doesn't have the full control, you know, even down to the editing, it wasn't his editing. So in Police Story, he was more direct, more hard hitting. And then I would say in his later films, he's a little more intricate. He would spin one way, kick this way, get punched in the nose, play with the comedy, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I believe that's him growing as a human being, just learning to adapt to his circumstances, learning to adapt to who he is as a person. And I believe, you know, art is just an expression of who we are as humans. So that bleeds into his fight scenes as well, you know? So I believe no matter what, we're always growing, you know? And I don't believe that the physical capabilities is everything. It's just a part of the arsenal of who we are as an artist, you know?
This episode is brought to you by Red Boat Fish Sauce. Some things will never be replicated by AI. The fragrance of fish sauce hitting a hot pan, the sound of your grandmother's voice telling a story only she knows, the feeling of a family recipe passed down through generations that are imperfect, alive, and completely real. Red Boat Fish Sauce has been a proud sponsor of the Vietnamese podcast for years because, like us, they believe in authenticity you can taste. And together, we're bringing you the Viet Story Bank, a recording service built on that same belief. Your stories matter. Your family's memories, your lived experiences, your history. These deserve to be preserved exactly as they are. Untouched, unfiltered, they're human. So don't wait for the right moment. Learn more about the Viet Story Bank through the link in our show notes and pick up a bottle of fish sauce at HMart, 99 Ranch, or redboatfishsauce.com. Yeah, that's a cool observation. I never thought about that. And I wonder how many, you know, people watching this think about that because, yeah, I could see some comedic elements of you starting to come out, but it didn't fully come out in the Furious, but there are some funny parts that I was starting to see now that you're bringing that up. What version are you in right now? You're in 1.0, man.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm in the 1.5 right now. I'm just kidding. No, definitely. I'm in the version of learning to let go. Actually, I would say in my previous work on, you know, the fight scenes I've shot on YouTube, the films I've worked on, I've always, you know, I've been inspired by Jackie Chan, Donnie Yen, Bruce Lee, you know, and they hold this charismatic figure of just having control of everything. Like, I am the man, I am in control, you know, like Chan Dan, you know? I would say I'm in a phase of just letting myself exist as I am and just bringing my own truth onto the camera. So, and that comes within the projects I work on too. It's like The Furious. I've never done a role like this. You know, I've never played a role like this. I've never allowed myself to play a role like this. And I've never done this kind of choreography. So I believe having the foundation I have, that's the order already, you know, but now it's time for the chaos. And I believe true art is about having that clear balance of order and chaos. So now that I have my foundation, I'm confident in my abilities and I'm seared as who I believe I am. I am okay with coming onto a project and letting it be and taking direction from Kenji-san and someone else, and then just having full trust that the product will be as beautiful as their vision, you know? So that's the version I'm on, I would say.
Brian, you're getting a lot more philosophical with me on this interview and the last interview. You know, it's much different than the interviews we had years ago, you know?
I appreciate that.
I'm hearing a lot of growth on a psychic, spiritual, sort of like psychological journey that you, it sounds like you're thinking a lot more about this intellectually. Where is that coming from?
No, I mean, I feel
it was always there.
It's always there. I just didn't know how to put into words. You know, I believe that deep down when, as every artist, when we tune into ourselves, you know, we have a lot we want to show. We have a lot we want to say, but I believe energy is something that you can't really explain. It's only something you can feel, you know? And I believe as I've grown as a human being, I'm starting to connect the dots a little more, which is all. But I'm just grateful to be on this journey, honestly.
You know, as I watch Furious, I don't know how much, I'm not trying to give away anything, but oh my God, the one part where you're in the back of that van, that truck, that open box truck with the gate, with the little girl, and you're shaking her. I mean, can we talk about that? Or is that, how much.
Let's do it. If we allow spoilers, then let's do it.
I don't think it's giving away anything. I don't think it's spoiling anything, but oh my God, what a nerve-wracking scene. I mean, I hope that anybody listening to this interview will go just to see that take place. How much of that is real? I'm not trying to get you to give away the movie magic, but like, you got this girl, this 9-year-old girl, or, you know, upside down with her, and it looks dangerous as hell as this thing is moving in traffic, or not traffic, but like in this wide open road. It looks super dangerous. Can you tell me a little bit about that scene?
Yeah, of course. I'll just start off by saying, I think throughout the whole shooting process of that film, I think that scene was the scariest one, even scarier than fighting the other four guys. Wow. I would say that was the scariest scene only because it's like what you said, you have this 9-year-old girl in your hands, you know, and of course they were very safe with the process. They had a green screen, like a barrier that they created under so she wouldn't hit her head and everything. And I'm hooked onto a wire as well as hers. And it's, you know, at the same time, although there's a leverage of holding her up and the wire holding me up as well, she's still swinging along with the car. She could easily hit her head. So all I knew was in those wide shots when I didn't have to care my expression that much, I just had to like pray to God that she wouldn't hit her head on the truck, you know? But honestly, she's a trooper. She was down to do it as many times as it took. And I was so inspired by her to do well in the rest of the movie. She can do that and I can do anything. That was how I started.
I mean, but, truly inspiring to watch.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Were you going to say something, Brian?
No. I was just going to say it was the real deal. I held up a 9-year-old girl with a car driving at, I don't know how fast. I was just focusing on her. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it looks very dangerous. Life-threateningly dangerous.
But with all that being said, the Japanese stunt team were very safe with their approach. They tested it with the stunt guys first, even had a dummy for some shots to make sure no one would be hitting anything. After all that preparation, then they plugged her and myself in. So kudos to them, honestly.
Yeah. You know, and I should know these things. I mean, I should know this next question, but I have to ask you, the death the mute father, is he really mute in real life?
The mute father? What's that?
Yeah, the little girl's father.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of my character and the father.
Oh, your father. Song. You're the Mr. Song. Yeah.
No, I'm thinking of Mr. Song. No, he's not mute in real life. I believe he had to take on sign language, learning a different way of how to express themselves, not through words, but through like just expressing through facial emotions and gestures alone, you know. And I'm not sure how much preparation he had to do for that, but man, he played it really well, and I'm so proud of him to be able to pull that off, you know, as someone who isn't really mute, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly why I bring him up. It's like the interaction that you have as an audience member with him, you just feel so deeply connected. And I think at the end, when all of you are fighting, I'm like, oh, Brian, don't hit him too hard. You know, like, oh my God, I feel so much love.
Bro. No, totally.
Say it again.
No, I'll say, bro, he can't even speak. Don't hit him. I'm just
kidding. That's exactly it. When I think about the role that you did, it was, you know, it there's an escalation to the tension that you bring to the screen. And then I think the clever part of how they wrote your part was when they brought in all four to fight you at the end, where you're fighting everybody else. And then I thought to myself, you are the glue that really brings all of the characters together at the, you know, at the final, at the end. But it made me think about something, that in the way that we perceive The Rock in the early years as this big guy, this big, you know, but eventually he's taking on roles that are, you know, like Moana, and, you know, doing the roles that are, do you see a trajectory for you in that way?
I think that's a really good question. Honestly, I don't know. And I can't tell, you know. I think, depending on our life experiences, you know, life can go one way or the other, and that can dictate our experiences, how we feel. And from there on is, you know, that can determine the trajectory of how we would go, you know? So honestly,
because that character arc. Yeah. Because that character arc, I was beginning to think that. I was like, I could see you playing more sensitive roles.
I would love to, like, in the future, not even the future, now, you know. I just love exploring different types of roles. It allows you to live in different realities and really express yourself in different ways that you never thought you would, you know. So I'm very open to just playing it, like, almost any role there is. I love exploring different characters.
How much of the relationship between the cinematographer, the director, all of the people who are making the visuals happen, and your vision, how much of that is worked out during the making of this film, in terms of, like, how much do you get to say in this? Or are you just, you know, in there and you have your vision, you go for it, and then they're cutting around what you think?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Totally. I think it was a huge collaborative effort. Like, I believe that the script is always, I always see it as just a guideline of the story, you know. And I think it's up to every performer to bring their own truth onto the screen, onto the camera, you know. So down to how much say I got, I talk to Kenji a lot off hours about my role. Like, I'd sit down with him at coffee shops and be like, you know, like, how do you feel if I played it this way? Like, what do you say for the backstory? This happened to the character instead, so that way he has this little quirk of whatever, you know. It just brings some color, brings something that can contrast with the other characters as well. Because there's five strong characters in the film, and it's, you know, I think it's up to every individual to bring your own, you know, to bring your own voice. And down to the cinematography and the action, you know, again, same as the script, I believe the choreography is just a guideline as well. And it's up to every actor to bring their truth into the action as well. And what's beautiful in this production that I haven't seen before was that Meteor, Meteor Chung, our cinematographer, came into the rehearsal rooms with us to figure out the shots along with the stunt team as we were going. So everything was very well prepared. Everything was set up really well. And during that time, we had our say, like, hey, instead of this move, can I do this? I feel like my character is a little more in this way. Let me express in this way. And we would find the in-between and tweak it out so that it still matches the same road of the story, you know.
Why would they never, why would they not bring the DP in, the cinematographer? That makes perfect sense, right?
It does, right? Yeah, yeah, totally.
So you're saying all the projects that you did, the projects that you did before, they you didn't have the DPs working alongside you?
I think it varies production to production. I would say in a lot of films that include heavy action scenes, they would have a second unit where like you have an action director kind of lead that unit, you know? So there would be like they would have a designated action cam guy kind of in the previs rooms with them, you know, kind of figuring out the shots as they go. And then the action director would direct purely that, you know, but because we worked all on one unit together, you know, it was a big action set. So, in this case, they had the cinematographer come into the room and rehearse with us.
You know, when the characters were, you know, being killed off or yada, 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 I was getting sad because I was like, oh my God, I hope there's a part two to this, you know, with you in it. And, you know, I'm like, don't kill off everybody. Let's, you know, let everybody walk away so we get a part two. You know, it was amazing. You know, it was like, it was so much action. And I'm like, just give us a part two. You can make a part two out of this. And, you know, is there any talks of a part two to this? Bringing some characters back?
Even yeah, I mean, if there is, I don't know about it. But I would love a part two, honestly. And honestly, you know, back then in Hong Kong films, you know, in the first, like in the first film, everyone dies in the sequel. They just bring everyone back with a different storyline, but call it the same title. Yeah, back in like old Hong Kong films, they would just do that. Even in The Raid 2, Yan's character, the one that plays Tuck, he played the character Mad Dog in Raid number 1. And Raid number 2, he just came in as a totally different character. I believe there was a different storyline as well. I'm not sure, but it's still called The Raid 2. So, you know, who knows? Like, I don't know, you know?
Right, that makes sense.
I would love for a sequel.
It deserves a sequel. Deserves a sequel. Where can we find The Furious playing?
The Furious will be playing wide release in theaters by June 12th. And I'm so excited.
June 12th. Yeah, it's awesome. And I think that there's a lot of different demographics that can enjoy this. You know, it's one of those, you know, Chinese language, you know, there's so many different, you know, there's a lot of, it seems like Americans or Canadian actors, people who speak, you know, English, and it just seems like a very wide audience of people that can come and enjoy this film.
No, I agree as well. I believe that the common themes in the film resonates to everyone, you know, like everyone has family, you know, so everyone can resonate to the story of the film, you know, everyone. I agree with you straight up. I disagree with you.
Yeah. Brian, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I wish you the best of luck in the near future. I can't wait to see what your next projects are. And I'm always a fan, Brian. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Juan. I really appreciate that. It's been really fun. Thanks for having me on. Oh my God.
Always. I'm always here. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Christo Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Vietnamese Podcast.